For the Seed Pros, they being the pioneer dealers in the Atlantic Messina and Lyman area and the Family Vision Center in greater downtown Atlantic. This is Bob Bevensee along with Brian Smith, the conservation officer for Cass and Adair Counties. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Bob.
Got a good question for you. I was looking at the Missouri Wildlife Calendar, and next week is when you can start looking in the low water for glowworms. You know what glowworms are?
I thought those were a child's toy that they played with.
No. This is a lightning bug larva.
Really?
It's in the low water. This is a claim by Missouri, you know.
Well, I certainly wouldn't argue with Missouri, but I learned something today, Bob. It's been a successful day already this early in the morning.
You bet. I imagine it'd be kind of neat to see something like that.
Yes.
You were down at the state fair. That was interesting.
It was, as always, every year. See all walks of life down there.
What was the biggest questions, most often asked questions?
Oh, I don't know that you really want to know that. Now, this year was a little different. Normally, we have two officers per shift at the state fair. This year, we actually had four officers. So I was stationed in a little different area right up toward the front of our building as people came in. And quite frankly, the most commonly asked question is, where's the nearest restroom?
Okay, it would be. Yeah, that makes sense. huge mobs down there at the fair.
You know, I just heard on the radio the other day that they reported record crowds, largest crowds that beat 2008. Mm-hmm. You know, there were a number of people through the building. I worked the first Saturday and Sunday of the fair. And Saturday there was a lot of people through and seemed fairly busy. Sunday slowed down considerably, but, you know, still a steady stream of people through. But I didn't see the huge crowds that I've seen in the past. But they said as a whole, it was still a record year.
Yeah, they were all up watching the politicians eat pork chops.
Well, I think that was probably a lot more interesting than what I had to say, I'm sure.
Well, I doubt that very much. One thing we need to talk about, kind of a housekeeping chore, we need to stress hunter safety classes. Got to get that done.
Yes, please. It's that time of year, and there are some classes around. If you go to iowadnr.gov and click on the hunter education link, it'll say hunter and safety education. You click on that, and then you can go in and search for classes in your area. And I want to stress, and you may think I'm kidding, but I literally get phone calls at 8 and 9 o'clock at night, the Friday night before the pheasant opener and the Friday night before the shotgun deer opener, of people wanting to know how they can get a hunter education class in before the season opens the next morning.
Probably.
And I've got to tell you, it's a little late by then.
They probably figure you can do a little deal for them and write one out on the spot or something
Well, one of my favorite sayings is, a failure to plan on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part.
Exactly. Okay. A lot of things going on in the hunting area, and we'll come back and talk about that after we break for this.
When you're looking for a great new gift idea for your loved ones, head to Family Vision Center in Atlantic. They carry brand name sunglasses like Oakley, Serengeti, Olay, Wiley X, and many more that would make great gifts. If you're not sure of the style they'd like, Family Vision Center has gift certificates available. They can use the gift certificates for all their eye care needs, including eye exams, prescription glasses, and sunglasses too. Stop into Family Vision Center in downtown Atlantic for great gift options for all occasions.
Hunting brochures, that's the big catalog type program, is out, and that is something that everybody ought to get, whether they hunt or not, really. There's a lot of information in there, and it's got everything covered as far as rules, regulations, and that type thing, and it's kind of like reading the owner's manual in your car. You know, you can sit there when you're waiting for your buddy to go ask permission and start looking through that, and then you can always find something you didn't know, and that's every hunter's car ought to have one of these brochures just to clear up any confusion, I guess would be the word.
I couldn't agree more. I personally carry a copy of this in my In my personal vehicle, there's a copy in there 24/7, year round. And I also, you know, I get some questions from the public, and quite frankly, I'll refer to these first because oftentimes the answers in those, you know, sometimes I have to break out the big books, the actual code books, to look up the answers. But yes, there's a lot of information in there, and I would encourage everyone, even if you've hunted for the last 55 years and never missed a hunting season, I would encourage you to pick up a copy, because, you know, right up front we list all of the changes from the previous year. So even if you know the regulations by heart, you pick up a copy and at minimum check out the inside of the cover there and see what's changed since the last hunting season. Mm-hmm. Good. And those are out in the waterfowl regulations, will be coming out soon. They had to go to the printer later in the year because of the Flyway Council having to meet late. Mm-hmm. So those will be on their way out as well.
Any idea what the waterfowl population is going to be like? Have you heard anything coming down?
Well, I've heard that it's up and dramatically. So numbers sound really, really good. So now if the weather will just cooperate.
Okay. Back to information, the little fold-up cards you carry in your billfold, those are available also. I believe they're printed and out now. Yes. With all the seasons on them.
Yes, they are. All of that stuff became available just prior to the state fair. So all of that was in, and yes, those are out and about. I carry a good supply of them in my truck, and I know most conservation officers do. All of your district offices have them. Any place that sells licenses should have those. So your county recorder's offices, Walmarts, your local bait shops, all okay. Those places.
Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
That is correct.
You bet. Okay, let's talk about seasons. The early teal season, the early teal season opens up next week.
Yes, it does. September 5th. This year it runs September 5th through the 20th. This is the second year of a three-year trial period on that early teal season, giving it a try to see how it's going to go. And last year it was popular. This year, you know, we've had some cool weather awfully early. And we'll hopefully that didn't blow those birds right on through. But one thing or a couple of things from last year's hunt that we saw from last year's season that I want to stress with folks is that please note on that early teal season, the shooting hours are sunrise to sunset, and that is not the same as our regular duck seasons. Uh-huh. Our regular duck seasons, you can shoot a half an hour before sunrise. And again, that teal season is sunrise to sunset. Now, you're probably asking why. That's just confusing for the hunters. The reason for that is because this is a teal-only season, no other species are allowed to be harvested. Starting an hour before sunrise, I find it tough to tell a mallard from a teal, let alone a teal from a wood duck or some of the other smaller species.
Sure.
So we're open that season a little later. Hopefully then folks are able to identify those birds better, because if they shoot anything besides a teal, they are illegal. That leads into the first probably most common violation we saw this last year on the early teal season was early shooters shooting that half hour before sunrise. The second then, of course, and subsequent violations that we saw were folks were shooting wood ducks and other species. So again, one kind of leads to the other, but it's teal only. It's sunrise, not a half an hour before, so we can identify those birds better as teal and harvest only teal. Because no. whether you incidentally do it or not, it's still illegal and you still violated the law, and you're still going to get a ticket for it.
Know your ducks. The first time I went duck hunting, I was eligible to vote. I was an adult type, but never been around duck hunting, so I went with these guys down to Riverton, and I shot a duck, and I took it over to one of the guys who had been hunting for all his life, and I said, "What kind of a duck is this?" And he said, "We call them little gray ducks." So you need to have a little better grass than that. Okay, we got the teal taken care of. Dove season, that is going to get bigger and bigger as we go, and that opens up on the 1st.
It does. September 1st, that's coming. I mean, that's coming up on us so fast, I can't believe where the summer is gone. But that dove season's very popular. I think it's going to continue to grow in popularity. And again, with this cool kind of wet, rainy weather we've had, I'm hoping that it doesn't shove those doves out of here you know, too soon, but that'll remain to be seen.
Yeah, they're kind of like to get out of here, but a few of them, you'll see a pair of them once in a while all winter long will stay around, but it's kind of like the Canada geese, you know, they like to get out of here, but some will stay.
Sure.
Squirrels open on the 5th, as does rabbit.
Yes, and rabbit numbers, I grew up hunting squirrels and rabbits, especially rabbits, and rabbit numbers are saying on statewide average is up 50% on the 10-year average, so rabbit numbers are good and should provide some great hunting for us this fall, and squirrel numbers, they always seem to stay pretty steady, and so there's a fair number of squirrels out there as well.
You bet. So my prognosis earlier on when I was kidding about the early rabbit season, I was right on the population being up then. I was seeing way more young ones than normal.
Yes, absolutely, you were. The numbers look good. I know just, you know, anecdotal evidence, me driving around the country roads and so on and so forth, I'm seeing numbers always seem to be up.
Mm-hmm. Pretty liberal limit on them. Squirrels, they don't have a lot of predators that work on them other than us.
True. I mean, some of our raptors, red-tailed hawks and so on and so forth will prey on them. And, of course, if they're on the ground, I've actually seen probably more feral house cats take squirrels than just about anything. Uh-huh. Of course, our bobcats would be a natural predator, but those numbers aren't as high as they probably would be historically. So you're right, not a lot of them around.
Yeah, when we talk about things happening to wildlife, the feral cats is something we tend to ignore, but they are really hard on everything, songbirds and right on us.
They are. The University of Wisconsin's done some studies up there, and some of the estimates of songbirds, squirrels, rabbits, and other wildlife that feral cats take is, literally the number was in the billions that they feel that the research has shown that they take or have taken over the years. So, you know, and people say, well, you know, they're just a natural predator. The problem with house cats is they aren't a natural predator. We introduced them here, you know, and over the last however many hundred thousands of years, those wildlife species didn't evolve being preyed on by house cats. So, yes, please keep your cats indoors and keep them and/or spayed or neutered.
You bet. Because I don't know how far a cat's got to be away from the homestead before it becomes a feral cat. But if they get too far away with a lot of hunters, they're in a dangerous position because some of the guys take a whack on them. Out at Fort Robinson in northwest Nebraska during the Indian War days, when there was that was a major army post, they put a bounty on cats. And the soldiers in their time off they were just overrun with those wild things, so they put a bounty on them.
Never heard of such.
Get them cleaned up.
Bob, you taught me two things today now. You better stop. My brain's on full. Anything you tell me from here on out will just flow right on out.
Okay, let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk about getting some trees ordered after we break for this.
Precision Ag can seem like a full-time job. How do you keep your investment progressive and prudent? Contact Lee Satoff or Jim Swanson at Lyman Ag Supply, your MZB zone-based precision farming specialist today. Lyman Ag and MZB will create multiple layered management zones in each of your fields to be as efficient and effective as possible with your crop inputs. So call Lyman Ag Supply at 778-4486 for your precision soil sampling this fall. Lyman Ag Supply, maximizing your input dollars.
The state nursery does a good job of raising seedlings. These are small type things, but you can buy either in bulk or you can buy packages that work several ways.
Yes, these are meant for, you know, reforestation purposes, adding to improving a timber stand or what have you. And then, of course, like you said, there are a number of packets, songbird packets and wildlife packets, and that's a mixture of trees and shrubs specifically for, again, wildlife habitat, depending on what type of wildlife you're trying to attract and hold. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a great deal. The prices on those things are in my opinion, beyond reasonable. But, you know, that the purpose is not to make money out. The purpose is to get those out there on the landscape and improve our timbers and try and reestablish our timbers and so on and so forth.
You bet. You say inexpensive. They're just borderline being cheap. on the large-scale ones, they're 25 to 55 cents a seedling, or you can buy a package. It's got four species in it, and that's 200 plants for $110. So that's $0.50 and a penny, maybe something like that. So worthwhile and does good. We need to put some trees back. We're taking a heck of a lot of them out.
Yes, we are. And again, it's not a money maker for the state, for the department. It's just trying to get those trees out there on the landscape. And the nice thing about them is that those come from seeds collected here in the state of Iowa, or at least so genetically, you've got a local genotype. Species a local genotype tree, and the species, of course, are native to the state. So that's the other upside to it.
Okay. A lot of good stuff going on. Don't forget to get a line in the water. Fall fishing is always good. People put it off and don't do it, but it's around and it's a good deal. For the Seed Pros, they being your pioneer dealers in the Atlantic area and the Family Vision Center in greater downtown Atlantic, this is Bob Ebensee along with Brian Smith, the conservation officer for Cass and Adair Counties on this morning's Conservation Report.